Good day, everyone, and welcome to this Arch Coal Incorporated third quarter 2014 earnings release conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Jennifer Beatty, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good morning from St. Louis. Thanks for joining us today. Before we begin, let me remind you that certain statements made during this call, including statements relating to our expected future business and financial performance, may be considered forward-looking statements according to the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, address matters that are to different degrees uncertain. These uncertainties, which are described in more detail in the annual and quarterly reports that we file with the SEC, may cause our actual future results to be materially different than those expressed in our forward-looking statements. We do not undertake to update our forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as may be required by law. I'd also like to remind you that you can find a reconciliation of the non-GAAP financial measures that we plan to discuss this morning at the end of our press release, a copy of which we have posted in the investor section of our website at archcoal.com. On the call this morning we have John Eaves, Arch's President and CEO, Paul Lang, Arch's Executive Vice President and COO, and John Drexler, our Senior Vice President and CFO. John, Paul, and John will begin the call with some brief formal remarks, and thereafter, we'll be happy to take your questions. John?
Good morning. Today, Arch released its full third quarter financial results. We recorded $72 million of adjusted EBITDA and generated positive free cash flow of nearly $60 million. We ended September with $1.3 billion in total liquidity and held more than $1 billion of that liquidity in the form of cash. Our results continue to demonstrate that we're successfully managing those variables under our control. Our performance also shows a modest uptick in domestic thermal coal demand. Shipment levels rose, pricing increased, and cash costs declined in our Western operations, helping increase profitability in those segments in the third quarter. In fact, due to strong operating performance in the Batumis thermal segment, we're reducing our cash cost guidance again for 2014. And we're maintaining our annual cost guidance for the PRB in Appalachia, implying lower costs in the fourth quarter. Overall, we're pulling the right levers to navigate the current market environment. As we look ahead, our focus remains on prudently managing our sales and production levels, containing our cost and capital spend, optimizing our asset portfolio for an evolving coal landscape, and preserving and enhancing our financial flexibility. Taking a longer-term view, we're confident that we have low-cost, long-term, and well-diversified assets that can generate cash even under the current market conditions and that can deliver strong profitability and shareholder returns as markets recover. Turning now to thermal markets, we still expect domestic coal consumption to be up 10 million tons or so in 2014, and that's taking into account the coolest summer we've had in coal-consuming regions in the past 30 years. Even with a disappointing summer burn, we continue to see real interest from our customers in layering in significant tonnage for multiple years. Paul will provide an update on our thermal book in his prepared remarks. Looking ahead, the upcoming winter could provide further support for the domestic thermal market. Western coals remain competitively priced versus the forward natural price curve. Moreover, coal stockpiles at generators, particularly those that are PRB served, are low. We've seen customers who are concerned about rail delivery take coal plants offline during the shoulder season in order to ensure that they have enough coal on hand to meet demand this winter. Nationwide, we believe the stockpiles will end the year below 135 million tons and are likely to be much lower than targeted levels in PRB-served markets. Over the past 2 years, generators have liquidated roughly 50 million tons from their inventory, essentially eliminating a cushion to service demand spikes. At these levels, stockpile levels are the lowest we've seen since 2006. This trend certainly could create a more dynamic market in 2015. We expect rail service to improve because rail carriers are spending to add power and crews and are investing to increase fluidity. Customers will then be able to enter the market to replenish their stockpiles. We currently expect PRB demand to be up in 2015, and that's despite the potential impact from MATS. Longer term, of course, the coal industry will be impacted by plant closures stemming from aggressive EPA regulations. We estimate that 60 gigawatts of coal generating capacity will likely retire by 2018. Nearly a third of those plants have already closed. In 2015, we anticipate approximately 20 gigawatts will close, affecting up to 25 million tons of demand on a gross basis. But that's before we consider restocking needs and the potential for generators to run their remaining coal plants harder to meet the demand that was serviced by those shuttered plants. Thus, we continue to see real opportunities for select coal regions with long-dated reserve lives that sit competitively on the cost curve, such as the PRB. Turning to the international markets, we continue to see long-term growth potential in the seaborne coal trade. In fact, India's coal imports have increased by nearly 20 million tons year to date, which has more than offset a decline in China's imports thus far in 2014. At the same time, global thermal prices have fallen to levels that price out all but the most competitive U.S. coals, including some of Arch's production. Balancing that fact, we've seen a pickup in demand domestically. As a whole, we expect U.S. exports to decline below 100 million tons in 2014, and we could see further declines in 2015 if markets remain at current levels. These reductions should help bring better balance to the Atlantic Basin market. Lastly, we believe met markets are in the process of bottoming out. Benchmark prices have fallen below the cost for one-third or more of global producers, and supply cuts are underway. Those cuts will help offset new supply that has come into the market over the last several years. At Arch, we've already rationalized a higher cost supply while building out higher grade and more cost competitive metallurgical coal platform. During the third quarter, we shipped 1.7 million tons of met coal at netback prices of $80 per short ton. To date, we have 6.7 million tons committed in met markets for 2014, which means we are effectively sold out. We've also kicked off discussions with our North American customers for calendar year 2015 business. The domestic market remains a key market for Arch, and the utilization at the U.S. steel mills has held up reasonably well. Forecasts suggest that North American steel output will grow again in 2015. We feel good about the demand we're seeing, but remain cautious on prices. Arch has nearly 2 million tons put to bed for 2015 at reasonable prices, and we'll look to provide an further update on our next call. Internationally, met markets remain oversupplied in the near term. However, we're encouraged to see that European steel output has increased this year. Europe is a large destination for U.S. met suppliers. In fact, we're projecting that Arch's overall met exports will be up slightly in 2014 versus 2013 levels, but prices, as you know, have drifted down. In closing, Arch remains nimble and able to respond to evolving market conditions. We have positioned the company well to withstand this current downturn. At the same time, we're mindful that markets can turn around quicker than anticipated, as evidenced by the Bitumen Thermal segment, and want to ensure that we're ready to capitalize on those opportunities as they arise. With that, I will now turn the call over to Paul Lang, Arch's COO, for discussion of our regional sales and operating performance. Paul?
Thanks, John. On the operations front, our western regions turned in another solid performance for the third quarter, achieving good cost control and solid margin expansion. In the Powder River Basin, our sales price per ton increased and our cash cost per ton decreased in the third quarter, benefiting from higher shipment levels. As a result, our cash margin per ton expanded 24% during the period as compared to the second quarter. For full year 2014, we remain on track to meet our cash cost guidance expectations in the Powder River Basin, which implies a stronger cost performance in the fourth quarter. Repair and maintenance expense should be lower as we completed several major summer projects, and we also expect rail service to improve incrementally during the period. In general, the October rail performance has been below our expectation, but that's similar to how the third quarter began. We also expect some shipments to spill over into 2015, and we've already started work with select customers to address potential carryover tons in the broader context of securing additional supply for next year. Looking ahead, assuming ongoing recovery in rail service, we anticipate that our 2015 cash costs for the PRB will be comparable to this year. We continue to be encouraged by the dynamics we see in the markets served by the Powder River Basin. There's ongoing interest from customers to secure multi-year contracts for coal to fill their estimated burn needs as well as replenish stockpiles. During the third quarter, we committed and priced more than 15 million tons of PRB coal for 2015 delivery. Roughly 45% of those tons represented new business above $13 per ton. Another 40% represented tons that priced off an index, while 15% pertained to carryover tons. To date, we're fully committed for 2014 and have approximately 80% of our volume committed for next year based on current run rates. Turning to Appalachia, our third quarter costs trended up as expected due to scheduled longwall moves at both Mountain Laurel and Leer. We also incurred wind-down expenses associated with idling Cumberland River. Excluding the impact of Cumberland River in our third quarter results, our cash costs would have been $1.50 per ton lower for the segment. In the fourth quarter, we're forecasting lower cash costs in Appalachia as we expect strong cost control across our operations. We also anticipate less of an impact from Cumberland River and have only one scheduled longwall move in December. Thus, we're on track to meet our cost guidance in Appalachia for the full year, which implies a stronger fourth quarter. Looking ahead, we expect cash costs in Appalachia for 2015 to stay flat or trend down slightly versus 2014. We should benefit from a full year of production at the Leer mine, as well as the positive impact of idling the higher cost Cumberland River complex. Turning briefly to our Appalachian sales profile, John provided you with an update on our 2015 metallurgic business discussions. As indicated, we're pleased with the demand that we're seeing in the domestic and Atlantic basins, but clearly recognize the broader coking coal market remains at depressed pricing levels. However, when the pricing environment begins to improve, we've maintained significant leverage given the low-cost structure of our metallurgical platform. On the thermal side, we continue to see weak market conditions. We've reduced our participation in the export market given the current netbacks and simultaneously continue to succeed in placing coal in the domestic industrial business. We've also limited our exposure to Appalachian thermal by closing or divesting assets. We now have a thermal platform concentrated at our low-cost COLMAC complex, which is cash flow positive even under current market conditions. Turning to the bituminous thermal segment, the sales prices increased and the cost per ton decreased, expanding cash margins in the quarter. During the period, our operations continued to deliver solid performances, allowing us to reduce our cost guidance by $1 per ton for that segment in 2014. In particular, West Elk ran well in the third quarter due to increased domestic and international customer demand. We now expect to run that operation above 6 million tons for 2014. We also committed Colorado coal for 2014 and 2015 delivery at nearly $30 per ton in the third quarter, helping lock in continued solid margins for that segment. Lastly, turning to our capital plan, we've recently reduced our capital spending target by $10 million and now expect to end the year at approximately $165 million at the midpoint of our guidance, including land additions. That estimate is down $25 million since our initial budget was set at the beginning of this year. We continue to see the benefit of transferring equipment from idled operations, as well as process improvement initiatives that have improved maintenance cycle times and extended equipment lives. Looking ahead, we'll continue to assess market conditions when evaluating our long-term capital allocation strategy. As always, we'll take a disciplined approach to spending capital. Over the next several years, we believe we can successfully run the business at lower capital levels. Post-2016, our South Highlight LBA payment in the PRB will also end. Our ability to manage capital as well as reduce costs is helping preserve our liquidity as we manage through this current market environment. With that, I'll turn the call over to John Drexler, Arch's CFO, to provide an update on our liquidity position and guidance. John?
Thanks, Paul. As John discussed, we're focusing on four key areas for the organization as a whole. Both John and Paul have discussed managing our sales and production, reducing costs and capital spend, and further optimizing our asset portfolio. In my prepared remarks, I'd like to highlight our achievements in regards to cash flow and liquidity management, topics that have been front of mind for investors these days. In the third quarter, we increased our cash position by $60 million to end September with nearly $1.1 billion in cash. Our total liquidity position reached $1.3 billion, taking into account the undrawn portion of our credit facilities. As we end 2014, we expect our cash position to remain around $1 billion, with total liquidity of more than $1.2 billion. We expect to successfully preserve our cash position in the fourth quarter, largely driven by our focus on strong cost control and prudent capital expenditures. As you know, we entered 2014 with $1.16 billion in cash and short-term investments. Through a combination of strong cost control, prudent capital management, monetization of small, non-core assets in Appalachia, along with other cash management efforts, we expect to contain cash outflows to under $200 million for 2014. Looking ahead to 2015, with a thermal portfolio that is heavily committed at higher realized prices than in 2014, and with a MET portfolio that already has 1.7 million tons committed at reasonable prices, and that remains cash positive even in today's challenging market, we currently believe any cash outflow for next year will be comparable to this year, excluding proceeds from asset sales. As a reminder, we have no major financial maintenance covenants until June of 2015. At that time, a relaxed senior secured leverage ratio covenant steps back in on the $250 million revolver. Today, we have only a minimum liquidity covenant of $550 million in place, tied only to any borrowings under that revolver. And we have no meaningful debt maturities until mid-2018. Thus, we have positioned the company with more than sufficient liquidity to manage through current market conditions. We also believe that we have the financial flexibility to opportunistically enhance our liquidity while also prudently managing our debt maturity schedule. Certainly, we'd all like to see coal markets improve sooner rather than later, but we've also adequately prepared the company in case the recovery is delayed. As Paul discussed, we continue to make progress in reducing capital spending without underinvesting in our portfolio. During the third quarter, we spent $23 million on CapEx. After adjusting for the LBA payment made in the second quarter, our year-to-date CapEx spending totaled $59 million, which represents a meaningful reduction from this time last year. And while we currently are forecasting a modest step up in the fourth quarter, our full-year guidance shows that we've been managing our business effectively at lower capital levels. Looking ahead to 2015, we also believe we can keep our capital spending at comparable levels to 2014. Turning now to our updated expectations for full-year 2014, most of which were outlined in our earnings release today. Despite near-term challenges related to rail transport constraints in the PRB, we expect cash costs in the range of $10.80 to $11.10 per ton. This range anticipates further improvement in rail performance during the fourth quarter. In Appalachia, our third quarter cash costs were above the full year range as expected. For the full year, however, we remain on track to achieve our previous guidance of $62.50 to $64.50 per ton. We are once again reducing our cash cost per ton guidance in our bituminous thermal segment, given our strong operational performance. We now expect cash costs in the range of $20.50 to $21.50 per ton, a reduction of $1 per ton at the midpoint from our previous guidance range. In other financial guidance, we expect our 2014 CapEx range now to be between $160 and $170 million. Included in that range was our $60 million LBA payment for the South Highlight Reserve, as discussed. DD&A in the range of $410 to $430 million. Total interest expense between $382 and $386 million. We note that our cash interest expense will be between $360 and $370 million for 2014. We continue to be successful in finding ways to reduce administrative costs. We now expect SG&A expenses between $117 and $121 million, representing a reduction from our previous guidance of $2 million. and a tax benefit for the year in the range of 20-40%. As we look ahead, we will continue to find ways to eliminate costs across our platform, find ways to effectively optimize our assets, control CapEx spending, and manage our liquidity. More importantly, we are confident that we have positioned the company with a sustainable, low-cost platform of large, scalable operating complexes that generate positive cash flow in these weak market environments, and that will create substantial value as coal markets inevitably rebound. Thanks to the actions taken over the last several years to enhance the company's financial flexibility, Arch is well capitalized and well positioned to weather the current market downturn and to take advantage of opportunities when market conditions improve. With that, we are ready to take questions. Operator, I will turn the call back over to you.
Certainly. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. We do ask that you keep it to one question and a follow-up question if needed. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We will take our first question from Michael Dudas of Sterne Agee.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning,
Michael.
Well, John, in your prepared remarks, you talked about inventory rebuild potential, utilization opportunities, given the mats and closures, et cetera. How dependent do you see that on improved rail? And I guess, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being really bad, where do you see it now, and what's your expectation, given your customer discussions, where that might be as moving to 2015, even beyond to 2016?
Michael, let me, you know, start out, and Paul can jump in here. You know, I would say that we have seen some incremental improvements in the railroad. You can see from second quarter to third quarter, we saw a couple million tons improvement in our volume. We would expect to continue to see that gradual improvement as we move through the fourth quarter. You know, if you remember in our second quarter call, we were talking about, you know, the rough start that we had, you know, to the third quarter in July. We've seen that in October as well. But, you know, we would expect hopefully over the balance of this quarter to see some improvements and to see another step up in volume. You know, certainly these improvements have not been as quickly as we would have liked to see, but we are seeing those gradual improvements and would expect to see that as we move into 2015. You know, we're reading everything that everybody else is about, you know, the delayed improvements in the railroad. But, you know, with our conversations with all the railroads, particularly the Western railroads, we're confident with the progress they're making in terms of capital spend. They're bringing crews on. You know, that obviously takes time. They're bringing power on. You know, they're trying to improve their velocity. But it just takes time. So I would tell you we expect to see some more improvement in the fourth quarter and that to continue as we move into 2015. Will it be fully resolved in 2015? You know, I think the jury's still out on that. Paul, you got anything to add to that?
No, you know, I just point out, you know, the railroads picked up about 5% from Q2 to Q3. That was actually a little bit more than I would have thought. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're not off to a great start, not dissimilar to what we were in July. But, you know, we don't need 5% improvements every quarter. I'd like to see it, but, you know, what we need is kind of a sustained incremental 1, 2, 3% improvement to get where we need to be.
And my follow-up would be, thank you for those answers. My follow-up, John or Paul, regarding your met coal positioning, can you remind us what historically the mix is between international and domestic, and obviously with the new Lear product and the successful response to that product in the market, is that anticipated to change more domestic versus international as we get through this contracting stage in 2015, and how upbeat are you that you can achieve that with some of the better utilization we're seeing in the U.S. versus elsewhere?
You know, Michael, we certainly are pleased with, you know, the tonnage we put to bed. We've got approximately 2 million tons already committed for 2015 and, you know, at reasonable pricing, as you've seen. So, you know, we feel good about that. We've always had a real focus on our domestic markets. We'll continue to do that. I think it just depends on the opportunities we see. In terms of 2014, I think we've got about 35-40% of our volumes will be domestic and the balance will be international. So, you know, I think it just depends on what opportunities we see. But, you know, we are pleased with the demand that we've seen domestically. The capacity factors have hung in there in that mid-70s range, and we would expect that to continue. And, you know, with our second biggest market being Europe, we've also been relatively pleased with the demand that we've seen there. Now, not real happy with the pricing, but certainly the demand in the U.S. and the Europe continues to be there.
Excellent. Appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
And we'll take our next question from Mitesh Thakkar from FBR.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Mitesh. How are you?
Good. My first question is just on the cost side. Paul, can you talk a little bit about the Appalachian cost? I know third quarter was a little bit of anomaly because of the longwall moves. How should we think? You mentioned that 2015, the cost should be flattish. With Leer running full, shouldn't it be lower and not so much as flattish?
You know, Mitesh, we're really happy with startup of Leer, and it continues to perform well. And, you know, frankly, it's hitting right in expectations. As you look at this year, you know, the costs have had a little bit of headwinds with Mountain Laurel, and it's been offset, in fact, by Leer, and we've also had the issue of idling Cumberland River. You know, as we head into next year, you know, I think the you know, we are expecting kind of what I'd call the first full normal year at Leer. And, you know, the cost in general, you know, I think we want to be conservative, but we see them trending down in Central App.
Okay, great. So it should be lower, right? Maybe a little bit.
Yes.
Mitesh, okay. We've got a budget meeting later this year or later this week, and would, you know, hopefully get some updates on those numbers, and certainly look forward to providing more update in January on our call. But, you know, as Paul said, we couldn't be more pleased with the performance thus far of Leer, and would expect, you know, having a full year of that production next year is pretty exciting, quite frankly.
Great. And just to follow up on the bituminous thermal side, you know, your bituminous thermal position for 2015 looks a little bit more open compared to the PRB. I mean, is it intentional or has the demand just started to pick up? Because I see that, you know, you guys have done a great job on the margin side, both on the bituminous thermal side. How should we think about 2015 contracting, because the open position looks a little bit more than what it is on the PRB side?
You know, Tesh, as we headed into this time last year, if you recall, we were quite a bit more open, and the guys have done a great job in contracting West Elk. And, you know, sitting here with with that segment, you know, we're in pretty good shape. I think this quarter is going to be interesting. You know, we still expect the mine to actually have some export volumes next year, because you have to remember West Elk still is a superior product to both Newcastle and API2. So it is still playing a little bit into the export market.
You know, Mitesh, I would also say that even with the recent pull-off in natural gas prices, we continue to feel pretty confident on West Elk's ability to compete here domestically. And as Paul said, you know, we continue to build out our international book as well. So, again, you know, as we get through the budgeting process, I think we'll have a little bit more clarity on what 2015 looks like.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys, and good luck.
Thank you, Mitesh.
We'll take our next question from Brandon Blossman with Tudor, Pickering, and Holt.
Good morning, gentlemen. Jennifer?
Morning, Brandon.
Brandon?
Let's see. Paul, I think you mentioned PRB costs potentially flat year over year, 15 to 14. Is that a mine plan benefit? Is it just continued kind of cost savings, some mix of the two, or just an increase in expectations of production?
You know, Brandon, I'm going to tell you it's a little bit of all the above, but, you know, frankly, you know, the guys have done a great job this year on cost control, and, you know, I think the real thing that's lost in this rail issue is that, you know, the rail service has been, you know, up and down, which has brought a lot of inefficiency across the whole supply chain, and the guys have done a great job of managing it. You know, one of the things we're hoping as we head into next year is that, you know, as the rails begin to improve slightly, you'll see that variability drop, and it'll bring some more efficiency to the mine. So, you know, so I guess the simple answer is all the above, but we feel like we're in a pretty good place at the operation right now.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. And then longer term, also PRB, and this is kind of backing into an implied question about what you guys are thinking on seaborne thermal prices longer term. How do you think about PRB export potential today? How much time are you allocating to that effort over the next year or so?
Brandon, this is John. I mean, certainly, you know, the short-term thermal markets are not attractive, and, you know, we pulled back from those quite a bit. We've got some limited volume in those markets because, quite frankly, long-term, we believe that's where the demand growth is, and we continue to spend time on those markets. We've actually got offices in Singapore, Beijing, and London because we think long-term that market's important to us. If you look at the demand growth and new coal-fired generation that's being constructed around the world, you know, a lot of that's in Asia, and we want to make sure that we're set up to be able to respond to that growth. We still have an agreement in place for shipments through Ridley, although we're not doing much of that right now. We continue to work on our Millennium Bulk Terminal, and we're in the early stages of the environmental impact study. We think that'll play out over the next year. We'll have a draft EIS to discuss. But over time, we're reasonably confident that we'll get that capacity in. And, you know, if you think about the implications of that long-term demand growth that we see, you know, it's certainly important. So we continue to pursue those. But quite frankly, with the domestic markets that we've seen this year, we've chosen to stay in this market because the realizations were so much better. But you know, we're not ignoring the international markets. We do think this year exports will dip below 100 million tons, but longer term, we see that as a growing market for Arch Coal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Caleb Dorfman of Simmons & Company.
Good morning.
Good morning, Caleb.
I think that you mentioned all of your operations are currently free cash flow positive. Is that sort of an indication that Arch's cutting is completely over and maybe we can expect similar volumes in each segment next year? And if that's the case, who or does anyone need to still cut net production?
You know, I'll start off that answer, Caleb, and, you know, just say, you know, I think what you've seen over the last two or three years is that we've responded appropriately to the market. Sitting here today, we've got our portfolio down to, you know, a pretty strong set of operations that are cash flow positive. And if the markets move up, the markets move down, we'll address it.
I mean, Caleb, I mean, certainly we think we're positioned well. You can see that by our eastern costs. I mean, we had a slight uptick this quarter because of the longwall moves in Cumberland River. But, you know, as Paul indicated, once we complete the budgeting process for 2015, you know, we expect flattish or even declining cost in the east, and we think that's fairly unique. You know, not to say that, you know, if for some reason the market deteriorated more, we wouldn't address it, but we do think that we're positioned well. You know, there's been about 25 million tons of cuts announced in the market, Australia, Canada, and the U.S. We don't think you've seen much of an impact from that yet. We think as you move into 2015, you will see more of that. You know, we think that combined with a little demand growth of even 2%, you know, will allow this market to balance and correct over time. And as we've seen in past markets, particularly on the met side, they tend to overcorrect. And what we want to try to do as Arch is make sure that we've got our portfolio in place that we can capitalize when that overcorrection occurs. And we think that's where we are today. If you look at our products, whether it's met or thermal, we think we're as well positioned as anybody in the space, particularly in the U.S.
That's helpful. Then a question for John Drexler on the balance sheet. Your unsecured notes are trading sub 50 right now. I know that some of your peers have been in similar situations in the past and have used that potentially to deleverage. Do you see any opportunities to potentially do anything with your unsecured notes?
Caleb, you know, we're looking and watching and evaluating the markets closely, and we've worked hard to position the company to have comfortable liquidity and significant runway. And we've accomplished that, and it's prepared us for riding out through this market cycle. We did that by being responsive and proactive to trends that we saw in the market. We'll continue to monitor the markets, and if opportunities present themselves to take steps to further manage liquidity, if we feel that's necessary, we can do that. You know, clearly with what we've seen in the trading levels with some of those bonds, you know, it's something that we look at. But as we sit here today, cash liquidity continues to be important, but we'll continue to evaluate all opportunities, and as we demonstrated, continue to be prudent in how we manage the capital structure.
Is there anything in the indentures which would prevent you from buying back some of your notes?
You know, we've got a complex capital structure, but we've got a clear understanding of each instrument within that capital structure and the related flexibility and constraints. You know, we would have opportunities if we so chose in various forms to look at those bonds. As we move forward, we would have to step through the capital structure carefully to do so.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Lucas Pipes of Brain Capital.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Lucas.
I just wanted to follow up on U.S. met coal volumes for 2015. I know it's a little bit early, but first, could you maybe give us a sense of where you stand in terms of your negotiations with the domestic steelmakers and what sort of pricing indications you're initially receiving here at this time?
You know, it's, obviously, as John mentioned, we started the year with about 2 million tons committed, which, you know, as we entered that last year, you know, we entered into a two-year agreement, and we all kind of questioned, but in retrospect, we feel very good about it right now. We're right in the heart of the domestic contracting season. You know, I think we feel pretty good about where we're at, and we're also pretty realistic about where the prices are. You know, that work should be finished up here, I'd say, in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So I think on the next call, obviously, there'll be a lot more clarity before we head into the international sales season.
Then switching gears a little bit, some of your peers indicated that in 2015 there's the potential for a pretty significant kind of restocking for the PRB. The way you look at things, where would you expect 2015 PRB demand to shake out year over year versus 14?
You know, Lucas, I think 2015 is going to be interesting in the PRB. You know, you've got the usual market dynamics, natural gas, the economy, weather, nuclear. But, you know, I think what's new this year is kind of the added dimension of the rail performance, the low inventories at our customers, and throw into that MATS compliance. You know, there's a lot of moving parts out there, and, you know, I think if we were to sit here and call it today, when you net all this up, you've got about, you know, I'd call it roughly 20 million tons of increased demand, but probably muting that is somewhere around 9 or 10 million tons of demand that'll be lost to MATS compliance. So net-net, you know, we're looking at about a 10 million tonnish increase in demand in the PRB.
Great. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the color. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from John Bridges of J.P. Morgan.
Thanks. Morning, everybody. John, I was just wondering, following on from some of the questions about pullbacks in exports, would that expose you to some take-or-pays next year?
You know, John, it could. I mean, as you've seen this year, we're on pace for about $40 million of LDs. You know, again, we're in the planning budgeting stage for next year, but I think it's safe to say that some of those will carry into 2015. It's a little bit early to kind of give you guidance on that, but clearly we got varying terms and lengths on rail agreements, port agreements, that will carry into 2015, and when we update you in January, we'll give you an indication of where we'll be for the year.
Directionally, it sounds as if it's going to be higher.
You know, right now I'm a little bit hesitant to say. I mean, I think Paul and his team have done a phenomenal job in mitigating these things, and you can see, you know, where we started this year and where we are right now. We've brought them down pretty significantly, and we would expect to be able to continue to do that as we move into 2015. So I'm a little hesitant to say anything today because they might be able to mitigate something between now and our January call. So I want to try to give you as accurate a number as I can.
Okay. And then you keep on working on your costs. Could you characterize the sort of progress you've been making? It sounds as if you've perhaps been surprising yourself a little bit with the costs you've been achieving or what you can, which innings of the game do you think you're in now?
You know, John, I got to tell you, I'm very proud of the people and what they've accomplished. And, you know, I guess if you're going to be surprised, we've been surprised the right way. You kind of go around the operations, the PRB, you know, as I mentioned earlier, with all of the inconsistency in rail service and all the things they've been dealing with, they've really done a good job of just, nothing outlandish, but just your good basic cost control, very good emphasis on process improvement. You know, the real star this year has been our bituminous thermal segment, and, you know, that's both the West Elk mine and the Viper mine, and, you know, people forget about Viper, but, you know, both of those operations have done a great job lowering their costs, and frankly, you know, they've been great across the board in terms of safety and productivity. So, it's a good story. Then in the east, of course, you know, the startup of Leer has been, you know, as good as we could have hoped. It continues to hit our numbers. You know, as we've talked in the past, we've had a little bit of trouble at Mount Laurel. That pretty well settled out in the third quarter. So. In general, John, there's nothing really super dynamic about the stuff. It's just good, basic, hard work by the team.
Okay, thanks a lot, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you, John.
And we will take our last question from Justine Fisher of Goldman Sachs.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Justine.
My first question is about the liquidity cushion. You guys have obviously built up an excellent one, and the fact that it'll stay $1 billion of cash through the end of the year is great. I know that there's been some talk in the market as to whether Arch may want to add to that liquidity position by potentially taking out its 2020 bonds. And it seems to me that the liquidity lasts at least for the next 3 years, and that what the company doesn't need is more interest expense. My question to you guys is that still something that you would consider to be able to extend the liquidity runway, let's say, you know, 4, 5, 6 years? Does the runway, in your view, need to be that long such that you would take the step to take out the bonds that have the most restrictive covenants?
Justin, this is John Drexler. As we indicated earlier, we'll continue to look at the coal markets and trends in those markets very closely. We'll continue, as we have been, to monitor our liquidity and how we're able to manage that liquidity through these markets. You know, there's a number of potential opportunities, we believe, to gain meaningful further flexibility in our ability to manage not just our liquidity but our capital structure. We've talked about those. I think right now as we're looking at things, we feel comfortable with the liquidity that we have on our books. We're going to continue to look at the markets as we move forward. And as we've done, if we feel it's prudent and appropriate, we will take steps necessary to enhance liquidity moving forward. We don't disagree. We don't like all of the debt and the related interest expense on the books, but we feel it's necessary right now to protect the balance sheet, and we'll continue to evaluate that as we move forward in markets as they continue to evolve.
Okay, thanks. And then my follow-up is actually on the issue of future LBAs. So you mentioned earlier that your current LBAs, your LBA payments end in 2016. But if I look in the 10-K, there are some comments about the Black Thunder reserve life and how current production is sustainable through 2020 and then output would significantly decline after that, and that there are some leases in the area that the company may bid on. If I calculate the reserve life, it's a lot longer than 2020, but I was just wondering what exactly would drive that output, and then would Arch need to bid on additional LBAs nearby in order to extend the Black Thunder reserve life at current production rates?
That's a long question.
Sorry, it's the last question, and I'm going to ask you a long one. I apologize.
You know, so let's start with the beginning. The West Highline LBA, we have two payments left, one in 15, one in 16. And in the K, you know, we talk about, you know, in order to sustain current production levels that we need future leases. You know, obviously we have a lot longer reserve life, you know, if the reserve or if the production level decreased or was, you know, brought down a little bit. So, you know, I think we have some flexibility on these LVAs. You know, Black Thunder's fortunate that there's quite a few opportunities around the operation. There's currently three LVAs out there. So, you know, as we head into 2016, I think, you know, we're going to be very cautious on what we do. And, you know, there's a lot of options. And, you know, we're just going to take it a step at a time. I got to be frank, the LVAs are about the last thing I worry about right now.
All right. Thank you very much.
I will now turn the call back over to John Eaves for any closing remarks.
You know, I want to thank you for your interest. I also want to take a moment and thank the men and women of Arch Coal for their focus during the third quarter. We continue to focus on the things that we can control: cash, capital, sales, production, and liquidity. I think as we finalize our planning for 2015, you'll continue to see how effectively we can manage those four areas. So we look forward to updating you in January on the fourth quarter and our outlook for 2015. Thank you.
And this concludes today's program. You may now disconnect at any time and have a wonderful day.